Good evening. I'm Danielle Woods, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking some time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Jimmy Dillon, Councilman Mike Driscoll, and Representative Pat Gallagher will take your calls and questions regarding the collapse of the I-95 overpass near Cottman Avenue and what's being done to permanently restore it. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join this conversation, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. Again, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. So now, without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Jimmy Dillon.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Danielle. First and foremost, thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's been a wild 2 weeks, and it was very important for Representative Gallagher, Councilman Driscoll, and I to make sure that we were able to keep the community informed. I apologize for my voice. I'm still doing some youth coaching in the area, and I've gave it all this past weekend, as well as out on the budget floor up here in Harrisburg. So, again, for everybody here, welcome to the telephone town hall for our friends in our neighborhoods of Northeast Philadelphia. I'd like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedules to participate in tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to this conversation, we appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, per Danielle's prompt there, please just press *3 on your phone. As Danielle stated, tonight we'll be spending the next hour discussing the incident along I-95 that caused a section of the overpass to collapse, what is being done to restore the highway, and how we're addressing the community impacts. To help me on this discussion, I'd like to welcome my co-hosts. First up, Council Member of the 6th Councilmatic District, Councilman Mike Driscoll. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Senator, thank you so much for organizing this. It's so important that we share information in real time to the residents and the stakeholders in the area of Philadelphia affected by this unfortunate tragedy that occurred on June the 11th. I just real quickly just want to thank you and Representative Gallagher. The three of us were on site early Sunday morning, June 11th. We didn't leave for 12 days. The PennDOT folks, the first responders, the Philadelphia Police Department, the Commerce Department, everybody recognized how important I-95 is to commerce, not only in Philadelphia, but across the East Coast, and indeed maybe the entire United States of America. We literally had conversations with the President of the United States, the Governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, the Mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, the Office of Emergency Management, Dominic Morales, Secretary of Transportation nationally, Pete Buttigieg, Secretary Mike Carroll, the Pennsylvania Secretary, who literally lived out of a trailer for the last 14 days after he got the call. When I say, and I'm not bragging here, I'm just observing as a guy that's worked in government and in business for a long time, I've never witnessed the cooperation of the federal government, the state government, the local government, and all the stakeholders, including the patience of the business folks and the people that lived in that area. Everybody recognized that it was a tragedy. Everybody rose to the occasion. We're not done yet. We have three lanes going north. We have three lanes going south. We have to continue. We have to finish this project. And tonight, we're here to answer continued questions and be the resource that the stakeholders and the neighbors and the residents of Northeast Philadelphia need. So, Senator, thank you for having me, and I look forward to this discussion.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to hear from you. It's great to be a partnership of Northeast from the city standpoint. You're a great partner and a great asset to us. Next up, State Representative Pat Gallagher, who represents the 173rd District. Pat, take the floor.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks a lot. And I can't thank Senator Dillon for sponsoring this this process. We know there's been a lot of confusing and misinformation out there, but let me start with thanking all the hardworking people that made this unfortunate incident recover so quickly. The men and women of the building trades, the firefighters, the police officers, the Office of Emergency Management, both Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and having this continuity with both the Senate, the House, the city, and the federal government has made this process so much more fluid. And it doesn't happen without the neighbors being, and I know it was tough for you guys a lot, but the neighbors being great with transfer of traffic patterns. We know businesses were affected. We all know everybody did their part to get us over the finish line for the phase one of this project. And, you know, there are so many moving parts, and I can't say thank you to enough of everybody. Mike Carroll, Secretary of Transportation of Pennsylvania, was absolutely incredible. The guy was down there for 14 straight days making sure we were back up and running and making 95 whole again, because it is the lifeline of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and the Northeast Corridor of the United States. So, again, thank you, Senator Dillon. Thank you, Councilman Driscoll, and we'll move on from there.
Thank you, Pat. Tonight on the call, folks, we have representatives from the Philadelphia Department of Commerce, from PennDOT, from the U.S. Small Business Administration, as well as SEPTA. And these people have all played intricate roles in the development of 95 over the 2 weeks and will continue to play a major role in moving forward. You know, just to echo off of Mike and Pat, the Philadelphia building trades never once flinched when this project became a challenge. One thing that the three of us all share in common here is we're very competitive. And I know that initially when this bridge went down, you know, everybody was mentioning, hey, you know, this is going to be a year. Hey, this is going to be months. Hey, this is going to be a few. 2 weeks, folks, is something that is very much, it's just so unbelievable and so magnificent that, like everybody mentioned, it came through on every level. And at the end of the day here, we're proud to stand with Northeast Philly and the people that got the job done. Next, as Danielle mentioned, tonight we're going to be taking a few questions from you guys on this ongoing issue with 95 and what's being done and what's being, you know, what's being held in the future here. So let's begin. Danielle, any questions queued up for us here?
Yes, we do have some questions coming in. And again, a reminder, if you have a question, you're listening right now and you want to join the conversation, please press star 3. But let's kick things off with Joan. Joan, you are live with State Senator Jimmy Dillon.
Hi, Jimmy. This is Joan Morrison. I've met you in the past. I thank you for having this town hall tonight. And I wanted to ask the two questions, actually. My understanding is that those lanes, I haven't been on it yet, are only 11 feet wide. My question is when you're traveling there with tractor trailers and other large vehicles, buses, et cetera, is that enough room for enough traffic to get through safely?
Sure, Joan, that's a great question. And we have a few representatives from PennDOT on the call here. If any of you would love to jump in, Dean, Brenda, Dawn, Fran, Dan, like I've said.
I think I can take that, Senator.
Sure, thank
you. It's Fran Haney. I'm the Assistant District Executive of Operations for PennDOT, and pretty much the lane configurations and the work zones and those types of things fall within my area. There is a straightforward answer to your question. Those lanes are sufficient if folks observe the speed limit. If you'll notice, we did lower the speed limit. And I know, I hear you laughing. We all understand what that means. But we have taken great pains to inform the drivers with multiple redundancies in the signage. Additionally, we'll be adding some variable speed limit message boards, electronic signs to further reinforce the 45-mile-hour speed limit. We will be adding one night, hopefully this week, and I'll leave that up to the construction folks, pavement markings that with giant arrows that say 45 miles an hour. And as you heard at the initial press conference when we were opening this thing, you know, the secretary urged people to just take your time and go through here. And, you know, if everyone shows a little bit of courtesy, a little bit of understanding, yes, these are absolutely safe and enough with. Now, will that happen? I don't know. But we're hoping that most people are good people and they understand. And they we've certainly covered it with enough instructions to inform them.
Thank you, Dan. Joan, it's a great question. And as you can see, these guys are experts for a reason. And, you know, obviously we're all looking for a lot of courtesy from the people of Philadelphia who have followed suit in the past 2 weeks here. So thank you so much for the question. Danielle, do you have anything geared up next for us?
Yes, we do. Let's go to Faya. Faya, you are live with the senator and his guest.
Yeah. How are you? My name is Faya Peters. I'm kind of much concerned about, and my question is, the 95 has a lot of underpass, and then the most flammable fuel trucks, it pass underneath and above. So, I mean, for future, what are you guys doing in order to prevent such? Because fuel trucks are much more flammable, and the disaster that happened just indicate that they are much more dangerous. So what are the preventive measures for the future?
Yes, Faya, thank you. Again, this was a question that came up while Representative Gallagher, I, and Councilman Driscoll were on site about, you know, while we are reconstructing 95 here, what are going to be some of the preventive measures taken? And again, I'd like to spin this over to anybody over there at PennDOT that can help Faya with this question, please.
Dean, I don't know if you want to take this. I do have some thoughts on this. Once again, this is Fran. And perhaps, Dean, you want to take this, Dean?
Well, I'm just going to ask just for clarification a little bit, Fran. Is the question regarding the exit ramp as it comes under the overpass then? Is that how I understand it?
That's my understanding of what the question is, Dean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Fran, I mean, I feel like this is probably your
okay.
wheelhouse again.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's supposed
Fair
to
enough.
Be speed limit on that. I think we saw the video of the unfortunate incident, and it seemed like there was an excessive speed coming down that ramp. But I'm not sure, Fran, if there's anything that you could put.
Okay, thanks, Dean. Yeah, let me just spell out a few things, because I got to tell you, while this was you know, an unfortunate incident, and it was a crazy, stressful, but good 12 days of everybody collaborating, as the rep, senator, and the councilman have expressed, and the governor and others have expressed, and it truly was amazing. One of the things that I thought about within the first few days is, you know, is there anything we can do to try to prevent, you know, or at least discourage, you know, something like that? I mean, if you watch the video, it's heartbreaking, you know, for starters. But you can clearly see that this truck was traveling at about the same speed as those folks on the highway. Maybe we'll find out what exactly happened. But I'm ordering an immediate review of all expressway off-ramps, on-ramps, especially those that we have identified through our Regional Traffic Operations Center as being accident prone. I know this is Northeast Philly. I grew up in Northeast Philly, and I know that for many years, decades even, the Woodhaven Road off-ramp, how many tractor trailers have turned over on that ramp? And if you notice, we have taken signage and warning and in-road markings and rumble strips almost to the extreme at that Woodhaven ramp. And, you know, we will continue to do so. But I'm going to have all of our ramps assessed, including this one. What can we do to further warn drivers? What can we do to, you know, give them the signals they need? Is there technology that we can employ? You know, the future is going to bring a lot of changes as far as integrating vehicles with roadway facilities, you know. So we're wide open here at PennDOT as far as employing these innovative technologies. But in the meantime, I am going to have a traditional assessment performed of every ramp to try to improve the signage, improve the striping, improve the lighting, improve the notifications. So yes, we are taking those steps. So I thank you for your question.
Thank you again, Fran. As you guys can tell, PennDOT has been way on top of everything here from the get-go. So it's wonderful to have them as a partner here and representing us here in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. Danielle, another question, please.
All right, let's go to Lorraine and Tacone. Lorraine, you are live.
Good evening. Hi, I'm Lorraine from Tacone. I live on Keystone Street, right opposite Interstate 95, as I'm watching the traffic right now. My question is, first of all, I want to tell you guys did a great job. But my question is, Longshore Street entrance going south, is that a permanent entrance, and or is that going to be replaced in the near future?
Great question, Lorraine. PennDOT, you guys are busy tonight. I'm sure if you're not familiar with Longshore there, it is the road that runs south that is leading up to the on-ramp of 95 there. Lorraine, I don't recall at the top of my head how long it's been one way. I know it's been for a little bit of time now, but anybody over there at PennDOT have an answer on if it's going to be permanent from a northbound standpoint?
We are building the new on-ramp at Cottman Avenue. Now, Dean, I'm gonna throw this over to you or my other folks from PennDOT. I don't recall if we are then also removing the Longshore ramp, but I wonder if any of you guys can confirm that, but there will be a new on-ramp at Cottman at some point. We were in process of that when this happened. And if we don't have the answer tonight, I apologize. I will get you that information. I don't want to give you the wrong answer.
Okay.
Well, Fran, you are correct. And sorry to interrupt, guys. We are building that ramp currently under the CP3 section. The Revive 95 would have the website, would have, you know, schematics of what's going to be built ultimately, but that ramp that Fran is describing will be built. We'd have to get back and look at that and confirm on Longshore, just because, like Fran's saying, we wouldn't want to speculate or give wrong information, but we'll find that out.
Dan Gleason, do you know if we're taking out that Longshore ramp as part of that project?
I'm sorry, that's actually not my project. I have the other ones along Route 95, so no. But I do know is that we are reconstructing the 95 and 73 New State Road. It's about a mile and 1.4 miles with the retaining walls along that area. But that's about all information I have for that project.
Okay. We will get you that information, and I apologize for not having that answer handy.
It's all good. Thank you, gentlemen, for collaborating on that. We're moving forward, and we understand this project's going to take some time here. Not everything can move as fast as we did this, but, you know, again, we'll all keep communicating here, and we appreciate the follow-up with that. Danielle, next question, please.
All right. Before I want to get to the next question, I do want to remind everybody, if you have a question, you want to join the conversation, please press *3. Again, that is *3 to ask your question. So we have a question from the Internet, and this comes from Calvin, who asks, what will happen when they begin to repair and the total 6 lanes become 4 lanes? So, again, what will happen when they begin to repair and the total 6 lanes become 4 lanes?
Once again, let's turn to our folks at PennDOT here. And can you guys address the lane situation, please?
So the plan right now is we will continue. Go ahead. Dan, you go ahead. Go ahead. That's fine.
No. Frank, go ahead if you wanted to answer that. We're going to still maintain 6 even in the staging as we build the new structure. So it'll be 3 in each direction through completion, and then it'll be 4 in each direction for a total of 8. But we'll never go to 2 in each direction.
Okay, that's great information. Thank you again. Danielle, I know that was, an online question, which we appreciate, and folks are able to do that through the website as well. Next caller, please.
Okay, let's go to James. James, you are live with the senator.
James Boylan from Holmesburg Junction. I noticed that shortly after the bridge disaster, some of the traffic lights on the detour streets were fixed so the traffic could flow smoothly, particularly on Tarsdale Avenue between Cottman and Rawn Street, and some of the lights on State Road to Coney Street between Bridge Street and Cottman Avenue, although there were a few that were still broken, like State Road and Noor Street. I'm wondering, will these local traffic lights be maintained now that the disaster is over?
Great question, James. I know in our briefings, being down on site, I know that traffic patterns were a major issue. And, you know, it's great that you noticed that we tried to build up as much north and southbound flow as possible with extending lights. But, again, I'll let our friends at PennDOT address the issue. Folks, will those lights stay on the timing that's available now, or will they go back to, you know, kind of how they were initially set, is James's question.
It's Fran Haney again. So he's correct. All those lights were adjusted because we were trying to maximize the flow, just like we made everything. You know, eventually we worked up to two lanes, getting those southbound, getting the on-ramps and off-ramps two lanes to try to get as much traffic through there as we could. Much of that has been returned, although not all of it. We're holding off on a few things just so we have it in case, you know, as part of the future reconstruction, we need to implement any or part of those facilities, even if only for a few hours, you know, in the future. The traffic signals in Philadelphia are actually controlled by the City Streets Department. So we had worked in conjunction with them on this retiming. You know, as far as we're concerned right now, we don't need those extra timings because it's no longer like an official detour route. So, I mean, if the city wishes to return those to their previous settings or, you know, leave them, it's kind of up to them at this point. So that would be the City Streets Department.
Great. Thank you again, fellas. Again, if anybody's joining us late here, Senator Jimmy Dillon, State Representative Pat Gallagher, and Councilman Mike Driscoll hosting a little town forum here with some questions either through the website or via phones. If you are on the call and you would like to ask a question, please press *3 on your phones. I apologize for my lack of voice, but we'll continue to move on here. Danielle, who's next?
All right, let's go to Anna from Mayfair. Anna, you are live with the senator and his guests.
Yes, right before this happened, they had closed the Bridge Street ramp to get off. Why didn't they reopen that exit ramp instead of having everything go off on Aramango Avenue?
Anna, thank you for that question. It was crazy in sense of timing. You know, it was terrible timing, that bridge being down and you know, parts of Aramingo coming off. Obviously, 95 has been being worked on for so long here. But to answer your question, I'm going to pivot over to PennDOT again. And, gentlemen, if you could help, or Brenda or Dawn, I'm sorry, I know you guys are still there. You know, the question is basically some information on why the Bridge Street exit was closed that could have been utilized to help with traffic.
Dan Gleason, unless you want to take this, I will.
So there might be a little bit of missed timing there as well. The Bridge Street exit ramp off of 95 was a permanent closure, and it closed many weeks before the incident actually happened. It was part of the BS2 project and the reconstruction there of 95. And Fran, you could probably talk more about this, but the plan was to actually have everybody get off down below for a more controlled exit ramp to have it be signalized and not just a free flow onto that local road there. But I'll let you finish that part out, Fran, if you want.
That is absolutely correct, Dan. And I also, as we evaluated that, because that was one of the first questions that came up, and actually part of that ramp was actually, I think it was partially torn up, so we couldn't even have opened it if we wanted to at this point, because work had already begun and there was materials up there, and it would have involved some restoration work. And, you know, in light of that, plus, you know, what Dan had mentioned as far as controlling the access, you know, at the more recently redone Aramingo off-ramp, it seemed like a safer option for the public, and that's why we managed it that way.
Great. Thank you again. Anna, I appreciate your question. Appreciate you joining us tonight. Danielle, next.
All right, Senator, we have a couple of submitted questions we want to get to. Dennis in Winchester Park asked, what support is being provided to affected businesses in terms of access and compensation during the closure of I-95, and how can they reach out for assistance?
Thank you. Great question. This was on all three of our minds as legislators. We went and visited businesses. We spent some time down there. I know Councilman Driscoll went and spoke with the mayor and the Philly Chamber of Commerce, so I'm going to turn this over with. But we've been working hard at the state level as well up here, Representative Gallagher and I. But Dennis is here from the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce. Dennis, can you help us with that question, please?
Sure. Thanks, State Senator, and thanks for the question. This is Dennis Murphy from the City of Philadelphia Commerce Department. I'm here on behalf of the city's Office of Business Services. So that's the staff who work to contact and support small businesses throughout the city. So since the bridge collapse happened, we have one staff person who's designated to the District 6 Council office. Her name is Carmen Huang. She's from the Office of Business Services. So any specific business issues can be directed to that team. And the phone number for that team is 215-683-2100. So that's the city's Office of Business Services. After the bridge collapse, we coordinated a lot with the police around access to parking lots and access for customers and for employees. And then we also, the city has just launched an emergency business relief program. So this is a program that was in the works before the I-95 bridge collapse, and it actually went live, coincidentally, right around the same time as when this tragedy happened. So we've been able to make that program available. It's offered by a nonprofit that's called the Merchants Fund. And if you were to type into your search engine, the Merchants Fund Emergency Grants, you would find more information about how that program works, what the guidelines are, and how to apply. The Merchants Fund has established a deadline for businesses, I-95 impacted businesses, to apply for that grant of Wednesday, July 12th is the deadline. So they're trying to collect all of the applications at once from I-95 businesses. So that's one resource that's available. And then we've been working with the SBA to try to establish a federal disaster designation for businesses impacted by this event. And there's a process where businesses fill out a form to document what their economic losses were. So if the caller has experienced those losses or knows businesses that have experienced that, again, the direction would be to call the city's Office of Business Services hotline. And again, it's 215-683-2100.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate your partnership through the city and the state. Danielle, next question, please.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. And again, if you have a question, please press *3. Again, if you have a question, please press *3. Let's go to Rose in Tacony. Rose, you are live.
Yes, good evening, everybody. My question is, they have a temporary ramp put up. How are they going to work around it to make it permanent, and how many months is it going to take? I don't understand this.
Sure. Rose, I'll pivot the PennDOT here. Obviously, the work that's been going on at 95 has been happening nonstop. Obviously, with the collapse, kind of everything stopped and everything became centrally focused on getting, you know, the major highway back up and running, which we did an outstanding job with. But I'll go back over to PennDOT here and let them kind of discuss, you know, what's happening with the ramp situations of what's going to be temporary and what's going to be permanent.
Dean or Dan, please.
Yeah, I can take this one, Fran. Thanks, Rose, for the question. So when we established that ramp, well, the crossing that you see now, it was having the next stage in mind. So the stage lines were chosen to build right next to it. So we have approximately a little, you know, a couple feet there to build next to it. So you're going to see some work occur on the abutments that are remaining. We have material samples from the abutments to ascertain the degree of damage and what we can salvage, which are currently being tested. But we designed what's there now with the next phase in mind to build. So we should have room to build on the east and the west of what you're driving over presently. As far as the timeline, as I said, we're still evaluating material samples from the abutments. Our long lead items, meaning our items that need to be fabricated, have been provided to material fabricators, like the beams. We've already provided beam sections to, so they're going to go into fabrication. The bearings, which the beams rest on, have already been finaled and provided to fabricators so they could begin making those bearings. And the expansion dams, which you drive over, the expansion plate dams, again, are provided to the manufacturers and they're beginning fabrication. So we're procuring materials in anticipation of setting them in. So that'll be occurring as you drive over this structure. You'll be able to look alongside and see work still occurring. And then we should be able to provide a more definitive time frame shortly after we get this material testing to understand the level of distress that this substructure sustained.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate, again, PennDOT's partnership, which has been wonderful so far. Thank you, Rose, for the phone call. Danielle, looks like we got about, you know, 10, 15 minutes left here, but let's keep the ball rolling.
All right, let's go to another one of our submitted questions. This is from Mike in Somerton. How is the state working with SEPTA to minimize the impact on commuters who rely on public transportation? What steps are being taken to ensure their needs are being addressed?
Thank you, Mike. Again, when we talk partnerships here, SEPTA has been there from the beginning. We talked about how we've utilized the traffic lights to get some traffic flowing here, but what SEPTA has done and opened up their doors and worked extremely hard in partnership with everybody and in the briefings to make sure that transportation became an option for everybody in southeastern PA. We have Scott on the line with us who can address this question. Scott?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, as soon as the incident occurred, you know, we jumped on it that morning and tried to repurpose as much of our rail equipment, and particularly to the lines that we thought would be most impacted by ridership increases. And we did see some really drastic increases. We saw upwards of 16% increases in ridership on our Trenton, West Trenton, Fox Chase, and Warminster lines. So we were able to repurpose train cars from other trains on other lines. We even temporarily suspended our Kenwood line to move cars and crew onto the Trenton line. So we were able to add upwards of 50 cars, including three additional trains in the morning and three additional trains in the evening. And we were able to do that pretty quickly. I had that in place by rush hour Monday morning. And then on the surface side of things with our buses, we had really great cooperation from Philadelphia Police and City Streets to try to prioritize our bus routes as best as we could. I mean, they were fighting through the detour traffic like everyone else was, but we were able to get some assistance in getting them out of situations and around some tight curves, turns to keep our buses moving. And by the end of the first week or so, we were moving fairly decently through the area. But it really was a team effort. We had a lot of cooperation, as I said, from the city and from PennDOT, who was trying to give us whatever assistance we could get. But we saw really good upticks in ridership, and we're hoping to hold on to some of those folks.
Scott, thank you so much. And again, we appreciate our partnership with SEPTA. We're proud to have you guys representing us in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania. Danielle, next question, please.
All right, and a reminder, if you have a question, press star 3. And in the spirit of collaboration, another question coming into us from Anthony in Home Circle. He asks, can you elaborate on the role of the federal government, specifically the Biden administration, in supporting the restoration of I-95, and what kind of assistance can we expect from them moving forward?
You want to talk about people stepping up to the plate here. You know, when we all got the initial phone call, you know, we got down to the scene and, you know, started to put ideas and thoughts together on timing and how things were going to work out. And without any hesitation, without any questions or anything, the President and the White House jumped in on us here to help better answer the question from Anthony here in terms of the role that the federal government has played. Let me pivot back over to PennDOT and let somebody from there take the question for us, please.
So the federal government has been a tremendous partner in this whole operation. They've pledged funding. They immediately released several million dollars so we could pay the initial bills to get everything in motion to do this initial repair. I don't know if Brenda or Dawn or Dean or anyone else can add to that. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and obviously funding is a key part, and there was absolutely no hesitation, and there continues to be full cooperation with the federal, state, and local governments at this time. If anyone else can add to that, please do.
Thank you. And to keep everybody else just as early as today, in the Veterans Affairs Committee up here in the Senate, Senator Farrey and I passed a Senate resolution which passed unanimously and will be ran on the floor this week to keep that federal funding coming into 95 and cutting through the red tape and making sure that the necessary monetary units are flowing to keep literally 95 going here. And that is going to hopefully get through the Senate and the House this week. And again, another win for I-95 and for Northeast Philadelphia. Danielle, we're ready for another caller.
All right.
Senator, may I interrupt for one moment? I have an answer on that earlier question. The Longshore Avenue on-ramp will remain as part of the future I-95 condition, in addition to the Cottman Avenue on-ramp that we are currently in the early stages of constructing. Thank you.
How do you guys like that for timing? Way to get back to us nice and fast, folks. We're used to it now. Thank you so much. Danielle, I think we're ready for you now.
Yeah, thanks for that update. Let's go to Christine from Tacony. Christine, you're live.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris Kanish. I live on Gillespie Street in Tacony. I know Mike Driscoll, and I knew your father, Frank Driscoll. Anyway, I just wanted to compliment you guys, you know, hearing it from the people who live here, that you all were the right people at the right time for this situation. And I wanted you to know that I appreciate all the work that you did to bring about this kind of a result, because this is phenomenal. Nothing gets done this quickly, ever. So I just wanted to thank you all from the bottom of my heart.
Christine, we appreciate the kind words. Thank
Christine,
you so much.
I have to comment there. This is Mike Driscoll. I'm happy to report my dad, Joe, who I do know you know, is still alive and well, World War II veteran. And I took him to church at St. Martin's yesterday, and the guy still has more energy than I do.
That's great.
Great info, Mike. Christine, thank you for the kind words. And like I had mentioned earlier, the three of us are very much on the same page. We talk daily. We meet weekly. Our staffs coordinate with one another. We really are all about Northeast Philadelphia and putting the Northeast first, and we're just proud to be a small part of what we're trying to build and what we're proud of where we were all born and raised. Danielle, we have time for another call or two here, a few more questions. We appreciate everybody being with us today.
Okay, yeah, let's go to a couple more submitted questions from Nancy in Mayfair. She asks, has there been any assessment of the environmental impact caused by the collapse?
So another good question. The DEP worked with the Philadelphia Water Department and the U.S. Coast Guard to conduct an environmental assessment. It worked to contain any oil spill, and it determined that there were no threat with the drinking water. And I know this was something that initially was an issue because of, you know, the pothole explosions, and they were worried about what was getting into the ground and getting into the pipes and being so close to the river. So I know that all of our teams jumped on this initially, and I'm happy to report back that, like I mentioned, the Department of Environmental Protection came back with all positive, no contamination, and it, again, it was just more positive information that has led toward into us moving in the right direction and having us trend things in the right direction. So we appreciate that question, and environmentally, we're good in the Northeast. So thanks again, and Danielle, back over to you.
You know, Senator, I think that's a great way to end things. I mean, we're ending on a high note here. What do you say?
That sounds great. If Danielle, if you'd be okay with it, I'd like to turn the floor back over to Councilman Driscoll and Representative Gallagher here just to wrap us up with things. And we, again, thank everybody so much for joining us.
Michael. Oh, yeah, thanks, Senator. Look, this is a process, everybody. You know, we're only, I guess, 15 days into this. We're not leaving anybody. You know, we're not abandoning this project. I know we're open, but we have to get the east side and the west side done, and we have to get the underpass open. We have to get the southbound new lanes going. You know, thrilled that Longshore is still going to be open after this is all over. The small businesses, I encourage to contact the folks that we've given you the numbers for. If you had an economic loss, either now or in the future, we have people that are resources for you. So, again, tonight's not an end. Tonight's sort of an ongoing discussion, ongoing transparency, and ongoing support. So, Senator, I can't thank you enough for arranging this.
Well said, Mike. Thank you so much for your dedication to Philadelphia and the North. Representative Gallagher, the floor is yours.
Again, Senator Dillon, I want to thank you for putting this together and allow us to participate in it. And more importantly, all the agencies that have come and answered questions as honestly and open as we can, because we are about transparency and making sure this process is quick and painless to the community as best we can. And going forward, I want to say to the small businesses, as we've given the information, if there's anything our offices can do for you, please reach out to us. Getting us made whole is our greatest endeavor here, and patience as well from the community and within that. On a side note, if you can support some of the businesses that have taken a hit on this one, we encourage everybody to reach out to those businesses and try to participate in their recovery. And we're doing the best we can to make sure that these businesses are going to be worked with to make sure they're made whole at some point. But more importantly, that we were able to get this done and moving forward as quickly as we are was a testament to all the people, especially the building trades, PennDOT, the police, the firefighters, everybody that has participated in this process. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of Philadelphia, Northeast, and Pennsylvania at this point. So thank you to everybody, and looking forward to working with everybody to get through their specific issue the best we can.
Awesome. Folks, this has been a great discussion. Again, I'd like to thank my colleagues, Representative Gallagher and Councilman Driscoll. But more importantly, you know, we don't look at ourselves as legislators. We look at ourselves as neighborhood people and friends who want to get those things done for our community. I'd also like to thank our guests for joining us this evening. This town hall has been a great discussion. Thank you to those who've listened in and those who have asked questions and given us some suggestions. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Like Representative Gallagher mentioned, if you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-695-1020 or visit my website at senatordillon.com. Thank you all again for joining us. Thank you, Danielle, for hosting. And everybody, please have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.